Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report for today. It's Monday, May 16, 2022. Pennsylvania primary is tomorrow. You know, I just want to say this about the PA primary. Doug Mastriano for governor, Kathy Barnett also on the ticket. I've got to say this. Mastriano is the only person who really, one of the only people in Pennsylvania who stood up for the November 3rd travesty. And I would put my vote behind him, Kathy Barnett versus the Oz. You know, I got to tell you, not feeling the love for the Oz. All right. I wonder how many U.S. senators served in the foreign military, like Oz served with the Turkish military, perhaps to cite Jack Posobiec, the closest we came would be Chip Rohrabacher serving with the Mujahideen briefly back in the day. But I digress.
He'll win.
Who, Oz?
Yep.
Oh, man. No. Eric the Tech, how was your weekend? Huh? Was he okay?
It was good.
All right. Yeah, we can't have this because really, I think there are a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing. And as we get into today, we are facing a system in collapse. And it's an orchestrated collapse by the people who are running the show. And this is something that I've been watching. I've spent some time looking at. And this is a controlled collapse. You know, you've got Republican congressional leaders and senators going over to Ukraine, yet they don't have the temerity. They don't have the desire to visit our southern border. They're more concerned about Ukraine's borders. Now, this is wrong. And this shows the globalist push, which is why if you still adhere to the fact that, look, elections are important, if you still adhere to that fact, then we have to get people like Mastriano in the governorship. We have to vote out every single one of these rhinos, and most assuredly the left. But I don't think that there is a way to vote ourselves out of this, nor do I think there's a way to litigate ourselves out of what we're into. And we are in a bus right now that is careening over the cliff. We've left the roadway, and it's careening over the cliff. And I've got some things, of course, this weekend, busy weekend, and headlines. But just as the timing is impeccable, isn't it? You have a couple of mass shootings, as the media portrays them. One knucklehead, mentally ill individual from Conklin, New York, going up to Buffalo. In the Tops Market, by the way, it's on Jefferson Street. I've been in there numerous times when I was working up in that area. And it's a predominantly black area, some Hispanics as well. That's the demographics of that area. And of course, that supermarket serves that clientele. But, you know, when you're working close to that facility, of course, you go where it's convenient. And so I've been in there many times, and you know, I know that area. And by the way, it's the FBI office, the largest FBI office, is just a mere 10 minutes away. Largest Western New York FBI office. So here's my question. This guy from Conklin drives to Buffalo when you have cities of a similar demographic, if not even a heavier demographic, in the form of Rochester or Syracuse. I know this area well. Why Buffalo? Well, again, I mentioned the FBI office. And of course, we know this guy, this knucklehead, was a mentally ill individual, was on the radar of quote authorities, right? Because he threatened school shootings before, he was put in a mental health ward for, I think 36 hours or something like that for evaluation, released. People knew who he was or is, yet this happens. So just right on time, the calls for gun control in one of the heaviest controlled states, even the city of Buffalo. So, you know, when I was working, look, you cannot bring your, unless you're a federal officer, you cannot bring your gun into New York State. You're facing 5 years in prison. Just saying. It's a very heavily controlled state. So again, right on cue. And then we have what happened in Milwaukee last week. And we have the shootings in Chicago. Notice these are all blue cities with the very strict gun controls. So we have a system in collapse. I want to turn to video A. I think this will lay out. Now, I spent a long time early this morning into later this morning looking at various videos, all right, and trying to encapsulate what's really going on. I'll tell you what, before we go to video A, I don't, Eric the Tech, I know that you're, let's just kind of give a field perspective, a perspective of the playing field or the field in which we find ourselves right now. If we go to page number one, this was Citizens Free Press page, and this had a number of videos in it. Let's see here. Riots and looting in Chicago. Again, Chicago. This, if you take a look at some of what's taking place in Chicago, you're seeing, again, a system in collapse. This is an orchestrated collapse. If you want to play any one, let's see, go down to the third one, I think. Yeah, one more. Okay, for those listening on the radio here. Okay, yeah, this one here, this is a... this particular video is at the onset of the riots, allegedly, ostensibly because of an earlier shooting, police-involved shooting. And these are the crowds now gathered. They're stopping cars. They're kicking cars. They're beating people up. And the police captain had said, you know, hook and book these people, right? Mass arrests are in effect. Okay, but I want you to see what's happening in the democratically controlled or the leftist, globalist controlled cities in this country, beginning with Chicago. This is happening, and I've driven down some of these roads downtown Chicago. I know it, but this is happening today, and this is happening all across major blue cities, leftist cities, globalist-run cities in the country. Go ahead and click that one and play that one for the viewing audience here. And you can see it's really mayhem. Can you do that? Click that? Is that okay? No, you don't need audio. That's fine. So you can see the crowds gathering. There's fights. There's gunfire elsewhere or in the, you can hear gunfire once in a while. They're stopping cars. They're beating people up. This is just chaos. And this is reflective, again, of a system in this country that is a designed collapse, orchestrated collapse from the globalists, by the globalists. And these are the people that have been, look, many have been let out of jail. Many are not residents there. So you can see the masses. Now we turn to Milwaukee, which is video two. What's the response from this? What's the response to these riots? Well, what was the response to the coronavirus and will be again to the SARS-CoV-2 pandemic? It's lockdowns. The most favored tool of the globalists are lockdowns. They're coming again, by the way, in a couple of different forms. Lockdowns, we will see them again and perhaps even more viscerally done by local and state and even at a federal level, but in the form of both the resurgence of the SARS-CoV-2 variants, also by way of these shootings and riots, calls for gun control along with that, and of course, more lockdowns because of climate emergencies. I guarantee you this is going to be happening soon. If we go to video two, which is a Milwaukee mayor, this is a microcosm of what will be happening on a major scale in the United States, I believe, this summer. And if not this summer, thank God that we've got a little bit more time. But this is coming. This is the response. Last week, there was a gangland war outside of a Bucks game, right? And there were two gangs shooting at one another. Some 21 people shot, I believe. It was just, it was madness. But the, again, these leftist controlled cities have been allowed, have allowed this to happen. And in some cases, by their inaction or actions, didn't really encourage, but certainly by their inaction facilitated this kind of behavior. So what's their answer? Again, problem, solution, or problem, reaction, solution. And this is the solution, and this is going to be coming to cities near you or your own city. Go ahead and play clip number two.
Anywhere in the city when crowds gather and unlawful activity occurs, what's going to happen is that we're going to take action. We're going to do something about it. What happened here in this neighborhood last night, it will not be tolerated. We will not tolerate these sort of actions in Milwaukee. It is unsafe. It's inherently unsafe. We've consulted with legal authorities about options that are before us, and there will be restrictions and limitations in place. To put it simply, if you intend to loiter, if you intend to act out, cut up, if you intend to do anything that is unlawful, then my message is simple. Don't come here. Don't come here. Don't come down here. Don't mess it up for everybody else. Formally, I'm issuing a limited emergency order that imposes a curfew for all individuals under the age of 21 years old in the immediate area for tonight as well as tomorrow night. And that boundary that we're talking about, the entertainment district, will be Bell Phillips Avenue on the west. It'll be Broadway on the east. It'll be Knapp McKinley on the north.
You get the idea. Okay, you get the idea. Excuse me, where this is... This is the reaction, or this is a response to these gangland-style wars. This is going to be the response. Again, my point is this will be the coordinated response, I believe, in major cities all across the United States. And here's the other part of this. These responses will come out not just for gunplay, not just for shootings, not just for, again, for whatever emergency they create. I've got one piece of information I want to get into, I want to convey to you. I received a call today, and I found this very interesting. You know, we're living in a movie scene. We're living in a play. Everything that you see is really not real. Now, pay attention to this. The individual that called me said, you know, I have firsthand information that when Biden showed up to deliver remarks at a Ford plant in Kansas City, the employees of that plant, the floor workers, the laborers, were told to stay home. And I said, wait a second, because there were workers there. Were they management? No. Those people were bussed in especially to take part in the photo op and pushing the electric vehicles. All right. Now, I know this doesn't kind of fit into the what I was talking about, but I want to convey this to you because I think that this is extremely important. So what does that tell you? Think about this now. Think about what we see on these various clips on television. Think about what's taking place. This, to me, is one of the most telling things. This happens in North Korea. This happens in China. This should never happen in the United States. Think about the implications of this. There's a Ford plant in Kansas City. The push for electric vehicles. The workers of this Ford plant are told to stay home. They bring in actors, essentially, they're actors sitting in for the workers just so there's no uglies that take place. Now, I really want you to think about that long and hard and consider all the ramifications of that. That's disingenuous. That's lying to the American people. I'm telling you right now, this is more important than people make it out to be. This is not setting the stage for anything good. This is lying to the American people. This is lying to the workers and the people. Just think about that. All right, getting back to the subject, I want to get that out before I continued. All right, now this next clip, this is video A. Again, I go through a lot of videos, I go through a lot of pages, a lot of reports, a lot of things that are taking place, and I try to find the best encapsulation of what really is taking place today. In other words, I look at things and I try to decide, you know, who really nails it. I found two videos that really nail things as to the way things are today. Neil Oliver, of course, about the plandemic treaty that's going to be signed, and more about that later. Wisconsin Christian News, that's my column. This issue is about the World Health Organization, the United States and 193 other countries subjugating their sovereignty to the WHO for mandated lockdowns and other kind of draconian measures. This is a big deal. This is a huge deal. This would never have happened under any rational thinking human occupant of the White House. But having said that, Steve Bannon really on Saturday really encapsulated, I believe, where we are today in the larger sense. You saw the build up to this. Now here's the broader sense of what's happening. And if you don't mind, this is a lengthy clip, but listen to what he has to say. It doesn't matter if you like him or don't like him. It's the message that's there. So go ahead and play clip A.
This is a collapse of a complex system, okay? They talk about, you know, they yammer on about the international rules-based order. They never talk about this sense of trust that you have to have or self-organizing between countries and businesses and people and all that. And this has been shattered. It's been shattered by their direct policies. Okay, you're seeing. Let me repeat this: the baby formula, the diesel gas, the India just declared they're not going to ship any wheat out of India. Okay, Sri Lanka right now is absolutely burning to the ground because of food shortages. India has just announced they're not going to ship any food outside of India. Okay. Back in the 1930s, this was called beggar thy neighbor. This is not about protectionism. This is about people when they saw the complex system that kind of collapsed with the beginning of World War One on this the empire
okay,
system.
Okay, just pause that just for a second, if you don't mind. Okay, keep that up there. All right, here's the deal. Look what happened. Look how the system, the world system was collapsing pre-World War II. And this will give you a tremendous understanding as to where we are today. And some of the causes, the minor causes that had major impact on World War II leading up to it, the conditions leading up to it. Very important to understand history, and he nailed it with that. But he also nailed, too, baby formula shortages, the diesel shortage. Believe me, you want a world of pain? Diesel shortages? There we go. Okay, continue.
Up to through the world. When that didn't get resolved by fighting, and it certainly didn't get resolved by the peace treaty, and as Keynes called it, the economic consequences of that peace, you started to have a collapse of that complex system. Okay, you had the Great Depression, and then you had the beggar thy neighbor. You're seeing it here, and we're going to go into it to detail. We got Darren Beatty who's going to try to come over. We're going to do all the politics to get all that, but you have to understand the intellectual construct of what's happening so you can connect. Because here's what they hope happens. They hope stuff comes to you so quickly that you kind of lose it. You're not going to lose it here. We're on the bridge and we're going to take a deep breath, right? You're the tip of the spear of what's saving this country. And in order to do that, we got to understand it's all this madness. But in that, in the fog of war, we're going to look through this, understand exactly what's going to go on, not panic whatsoever, and make sure that we enforce policies, right? Because we have the vast majority of the votes, and people are coming our way every second of every day as they see what the alternative is of this illegitimate regime. Did I ever say, did you ever hear that elections have consequences and stolen elections have catastrophic consequences? In all of this, ladies and gentlemen, all this madness with no food for the babies in the United States, now you're going to see this whole issue of food shortages because India is not letting any of their wheat leave India. This whole chaos caused by the EU, NATO, and the Russian oligarchs in this border dispute in eastern Ukraine. You're seeing in all of that, everything going on. Our representatives, and I say yours, the people you work for, the people you knocked on doors for, the people you sent money to, called Republicans, Mitch McConnell, with everything going on, the southern border invasion, the southern border, millions of people coming across, had a report the other day, 100,000 in a camp outside of Houston and just increasing every day. Mitch McConnell is headed to El Paso, Texas. He's headed to El Paso, Texas, and he's going, excuse me, I read the report incorrectly. He's not going to El Paso, Texas. He's not going to the Rio Grande. He's not going to the border. Where he's going is to the border of the Russian-speaking eastern Ukraine. He is leading a delegation of five of these hapless Republicans, and each one of them, particularly the guy in Wyoming, irks me no end, they all have to be turfed out. He's leading a delegation right now to Kiev to sit with Zelensky, where the world is on fire. There's no formula. We have no diesel gasoline. It's only going to build. And there's no solutions. Think about it for a second. The Biden administration, they tell us all day long with the great CIA and DNI and all this $1 trillion of intelligence we got and the national security apparatus. They told us they knew this thing was forming in kind of September, October, November. They were starting to track it. Did they think about the fuel situation? Did they think about the food situation? Did they think about the wheat situation? Why is it all come as a surprise? Oh, Biden's quote, I'm not supposed to be a mind reader. Well, yeah, actually you are. No, actually, that's kind of the job description. That's what the commander-in-chief, you're not supposed to be caught by surprise. In fact, we pay $1 trillion a year for national security, so we have some mind readers. Not reading the minds in the emails and the text messages of the American people and calling the moms or going to school boards domestic terrorists. You're supposed to be focused on this. Well, hey, look, guess what? If we allow and get into, and because we're weak, a shooting war in Ukraine, gosh, there will be a food problem, will be a fuel problem. What's happening here? They're totally by surprise. You're seeing before you more than even the collapse of a nation. As bad as that is, it's the collapse of the system, the complex system, underpins the nation. Chaos and anarchy are all before you, trust me. Unless MAGA and ultra MAGA take the steering wheel. And that's about to happen, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, all you next. Can just pause that for a second. Just pause it. Again, the ultra MAGA is a reference to Biden's characterization of America First patriots. Now, this continues, and I really want this to, I want you to hear the rest of this because he gets pretty animated about this. And he also brings up the feelings, what would our forefathers think of this, of us right now, of our inaction? Go ahead and continue with this.
In the war room, I tell you, the lead of this revolution is going to be the moms. Okay, you think that CRT and SEL and the whole gender identity and what the kids are not learning, the schools and collapse on math and reading and all that. You add this on top of it. I'm telling you, they're the tip of the spear. It's one of the reasons you got Kathy Barnett surging, right? And they don't care about what she said about Muslims 7 years ago. Don't care about what she said about gays 7 years ago. Just don't. I don't want to be so blunt about that, right? I don't think they care about building if she said it or not. I have no idea. The monument to Obama. We're in a crisis. You need leaders to get you through the crisis. If you think she's the leader to do it, tap her. If you think Oz is the one to do it, tap him. If you think McCormick's the one to do it, tap them. But who's going to do it? Who's going to vote against any person running for the United States Senate? And let me say this about President Trump. Any of these endorsements, they do not come to you and say, I will not vote for McConnell. You should not endorse. It's a mistake. That's why you ought to yank that endorsement from that guy in Arkansas and from the guy in Idaho, Crapo. Look at we have a system in collapse. It's not Steve Bannon saying this. It's all around you. Just look at the evidence. Look at the evidence. You have a system in collapse. Okay? Look at the 20th century. What happened in the 20th century when systems collapsed? Just look at it. You tell me what happened. You tell me what happened. And here's who the system collapses around. It collapses around the working class, but it also collapses around those people who played by the rules, those people who did their duty in civic society. It collapses around them.
This is important.
And that's when you hit an inflection point, things change. Okay? We're seeing it now. We're here to connect dots where we get a lot of politics into today, and hopefully I think we got Doug is Mastriano. He just got endorsed by President Trump. He is hurtling around the state. I think he's in Philadelphia now to rally or somewhere. We're going to try to get Doug by phone for a couple minutes. Kathy, I think we're actually going to get by Skype for a couple minutes or maybe by phone. It's hectic in North Carolina, in Georgia, all of it. Intense. But the underpinnings of this are important on this Saturday for you to understand so you can sit there and put this into your intellectual framework. So I want to go to, I want to do this right before we start. I'm going to give you the number for the United States Senate.
Okay.
202. Now,
take this down.
Captain
folks.
Bannon and everybody that monitors the Telegram and the Rumble and Real America's Voice, Getter, all of our different platforms and the forums that you guys are self-organizing, because that's what a complex system is, a self-organizing system, right?
That's true.
If you take this number down, 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. And this is the main switchboard for the United States Senate. And you must tell these senators that you will never vote for them. You will do anything in your power to defeat them if they vote for this $40 billion giveaway to Russian oligarchs. The Europeans are not putting a penny in. The oligarchs are still some of the wealthiest guys on earth. And you have a delegation of Republican senators going over today to kiss Zelensky's ass. Okay, let's be blunt. Why American babies have no formula. Think about that. And I want you to think of what the revolutionary generation would think of us. Think of what they would think of us. A providential country, the New Jerusalem, everything we've gone through. Think of who fought World War I in Vietnam. And Vietnam is still many alive, but the greatest generation of World War II. There's no formula. The babies can't be fed. There's no gasoline, so the truck drivers can't operate. Americans are making major changes in their lifestyles even as we speak. There's an article up, I think in the LA Times, I'm going to get up my Getter after the show, that people are making decisions about what meal to skip. In the United States of America, they're making decisions. I think I got to skip a meal today because I got to pay for gas. I want you to embrace this. And we're going to put up on Getter and this show, and we're going to put up experts, and I want you to get more information. I just want you to pound into the, immerse yourself into the collapse. And particularly, all of you have read, which I always recommend, Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, right?
Mm.
Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire.
Here we are.
The beginning of it, about the fall of the Roman Republic that triggered the empire. When a complex system collapses, who pays? Who pays for that? Who's at the brunt of that collapse? The very people that kept their head down and worked day in and day out and did what they were supposed to do. That's what happens. And that's where the anger comes from. They say, oh, Bannon's angry all the time. No. I'm just looking at the facts. Any reasonable person, if you're not angry, you're not sentient right now. You're not rational right now. You're not thinking with the rational part of your brains. Leave the emotions aside. The anger will build, and it'll build from a different place than just the emotions. It'll build from your intellect. They'll sit there and go, this cannot continue. And this is why Mastriano got the endorsement. You know, he's been on this 3 November thing from day one. He's the first guy that did it at Gettysburg. And this is what the president says. We can't go forward. We're going to get all the other problems solved. We'll get them solved. But you can't go forward till you understand what they did. What they did in stealing this.
Okay, think about pause it right there.
Think about the CRT.
This is extremely important. We have to fix what has... We have to take away the tools of the leftists, of the globalists. We have to take away or neuter the globalists in order to move ahead. We can't move beyond November 3rd. We can't move beyond the last stolen election. We cannot move beyond the prisoners of January 6th. We cannot move ahead. We cannot move forward until we address all of this. We can't move beyond the porous southern border where we have terrorists walking across and entering our homeland. There was a video that this has been played time and time and time, played out time and time. You can go ahead and pull that down. And folks, the link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. I'm telling you right now. He gets even more steamed and heated, but he's got points there. And it's a good summation, a good summary of where we are right now in this systemic collapse. The thing he doesn't really say that I would say is this is an orchestrated collapse by the globalists in order to make you, the middle class, me, the middle class, and sometimes barely the middle class, pay the price. And this is going to affect all of our lives. The fact that diesel is becoming so expensive and so scarce. Everything relies upon the diesel. Yet we got these morons out there, these Senate Muppets going over, like he said, to kiss Zelensky's ass. What the hell business do they have leaving the United States to go over there when we've got buku problems here? It should never happen. Unbelievable. And these are the people in that number, the main switchboard number at the Senate. Call them. I did today. I left a message saying, look, you will not get another vote. And that money, that $40 billion to Ukraine, that goes through. I'll tell you what. Everyone I know, myself and everyone I know, will not vote you back in. Will it work? I don't know, but it's something, right? It's something better than nothing. So the number will also be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. You can do it. Rand Paul merely delayed the vote. He wanted to know where the money's going. Of course, where's the money going? Oh, think of the military industrial complex companies. That's where the money's going. Speaking of money, you know what? And speaking of middle class, as I just did, and speaking of handling your affairs properly, the one thing I don't like to do is I don't like to waste money. And one of the biggest wastes of money, I believe, is paying excessive rates on credit cards. I'm telling you right now, you don't have to do that. You don't have to service your debt on credit cards while paying 20 and sometimes 30%. No, 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 no. Visit my friends at Lightstream.com/Hagman. Lightstream.com/Hagman. They've worked out this tremendous value for the listeners and viewers of the Hagman Report. If you're tired of paying high interest rates on your credit cards, check out Lightstream.com/Hagman. Their credit card consolidation loan can help you pay off those high interest credit cards fast and keep more money in your pocket in the process. That's what this is all about. Folks, loans range from $5,000 to $100,000. You can roll your credit cards, the high interest rate credit cards, into one low payment at a fixed rate as low as 5.73% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. This is way lower than most credit cards. You know that. But fix your business, your finances while you still can. This is a great company. They've got great, this is a fabulous offer. If you've got a lot of credit card debt that's been hanging around for a while, you can fix it. Go to lightstream.com/Hagman. So apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. That's right. Just go to lightstream.com/Hagman. I'm going to spell it for you. It is LightStream.com/Hagman. Remember, two N's on Hagman. This is subject to credit approval. Rates range from 5.73% APR to 19.99% APR and include 0.50% auto-pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply. And offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. You will thank me later. You're going to be glad you did this. It's really a good offer, and it's a good company. And, hey, we've used them. My family members have used them, and all with great success. All right. John Moore coming up. Do we have him? No? No. All right. John Moore, MIA. Okay. No worries. All right. Let's go to, let's do this. Neil Oliver. I mentioned this. Neil Oliver. You realize, folks, that May 22nd through 28th, I've been getting emails about this and all kinds of, look, I know what's going on. I'm telling you what is taking place right now is more than anything to do with healthcare, anything more than anything to do with pandemics or pandemics or health. Okay, this is about ceding power, ceding authority to a world body, the WHO, part of the United Nations, of course. This is what this is about. Okay, so that said, did you see what Neil Oliver, his monologue? Several minute monologue. This is my position, and this is again one of the two videos I think are extremely important for your viewing today. Let's go to video number one. The pandemic treaty is the greatest power grab any of us have seen in our lifetime. Neil Oliver, here it is.
Anyone remember voting for the World Health Organization to take control of our lives? No, me neither. And yet here we are, teetering on the brink of joining most of the countries of the world in surrendering our national sovereignty under the terms of a proposed new pandemic treaty. Once British ink is dry on the necessary paperwork, we and most of the rest of the billions living on planet Earth will, in the event of another pandemic, take our instructions not from politicians we actually voted for and could hypothetically at least have the option of getting rid of, but from the unelected faceless bureaucrats of the WHO. This is no conspiracy theory, by the way, no tin hats required. This is real and happening now. And a whole lot of people would rather you weren't paying attention. The WHO is a fabulously wealthy offshoot of the United Nations. It has its head office in Geneva and is presently headed by Ethiopian-born Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus. Know much about him? No, nor me. He and it are funded by 194 member states and also by donations from private entities. As things stand, most of its money comes from the United States of America, from communist China, and from computer salesman and international man of mystery Bill Gates. Let us remember that for the past 2 years, the WHO has loudly celebrated the approach taken by China to the handling of COVID-19. Even now, as tens or perhaps hundreds of millions of Chinese citizens remain locked in their homes in scores of cities across that country, and after unknown numbers have died in those circumstances, including some who committed suicide by leaping to their deaths from their tower block imprisonment, the WHO continues to applaud the tactics of the Chinese Communist Party that is its benefactor. For his own part, Bill Gates, who struggles even to control viruses in the software sold by Microsoft, is on record admiring the draconian approach taken by Australia, to the extent that he has said that, in his opinion, the world would have had greater success in eliminating the disease, the one that more than likely leaked from a lab in China, if only more nations had followed the Australian model, locked everyone down and sought zero COVID. Now we in Great Britain, without so much as a by your leave from our leaders, and along with around 95% of the world's population, must contemplate a future in which decisions about what we will be ordered to do in the face of another pandemic will be taken by the unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats of the Chinese Communist Party worshipping WHO under the unseemly influence of a tech billionaire with no more qualifications in the fields of medicine and disease control than I have. It's worth remembering that President Donald Trump insisted on divorce from the WHO on the grounds that it was too close to China, only for President Biden to remarry them again in 2021. All of that is history, however. In a matter of days, the World Health Assembly will meet in Geneva for a vote on the treaty. The target date for final ratification is in May 2024, but by then the power grab will have long been completed. Amendments written into the proposed treaty by the re-enamoured Biden administration will see 194 nations cede sovereignty over national healthcare decisions to the WHO. The WHO would thereby have decision-making power over and above our own government and every other government. Consider this. When you watch footage of the 26 million people of Shanghai locked down in their homes, their cats and dogs beaten to death in the street, the WHO would, by the terms of the new treaty, have the power to impose the same on cities here. Know too that under the terms of the treaty, the WHO does not have to show any data to legitimise its conclusions or decisions. It's also worth knowing, to say the least, that it would be up to the WHO to define what the next pandemic is. Seeing how things are going, I would hardly be surprised to hear about a pandemic of obesity or of heart attacks, followed by the lockdowns and other restrictions to deal with same. No doubt lockdowns to fix the climate can't be far away either. In the case of climate, the WHO might draw the conclusion that we, the human species, are the virus. Who knows what they might conclude and decide then? Be in no doubt, this so-called pandemic treaty is the single greatest global power grab that any of us has seen in our lifetime. It's nothing less than the groundwork, the laying of deep foundations for global governance through the WHO. Many of those opposed to the treaty, and there is an online petition here in the UK seeking to demand that the matter be discussed in Parliament, have pointed to the, shall we say, compromised position of the WHO itself. Much has been made of the notion that a fish rots from the head. Back in 2017, Robert Mugabe of Zimbabwe was appointed as a goodwill ambassador of the WHO by Tedros and only dropped after shrieks of outrage from those who pointed out that Mugabe might have been a controversial choice of poster boy for an organisation notionally committed to the well-being of living people. A glance at the 34-member executive board of the WHO reveals seats occupied by such human rights luminaries as Syria and East Timor, among others. And remember all the time the links the WHO has with communist China, a state with more human rights abuses under its belt than any decent human being might want to contemplate. And that's before we get to the looming presence of the world's fourth, or is it second, richest man, the one and only Bill Gates and his foundation, whose commitment to mass vaccination is unsurpassed. As far as I'm concerned, the whole thing stinks like the aforementioned dead fish. The approach taken to COVID by the Chinese government and endorsed by the WHO was never about health, I say, and always about control. Just as there is more than one way to skin a cat, one beaten to death in a Shanghai street by a man in a hazmat suit armed with a stick, perhaps, so there is more than one way to seek to impose undemocratic authoritarian control upon a population.
Okay, we're going to stop it right
just
there.
Just as a for
folks,
instance,
I
a government desiring such control might try frightening...
Go ahead and stop it. I urge you to watch the entire monologue by Neil Oliver on this. This is so important. You can... He really nails this because what we're witnessing, what we've witnessed really, you can go back to the initial release of this bioweapon. You can go back to, the real tyrannical takeover of the United States, and that would be on November 3rd, the last election, and then, of course, before that, the release of the bioweapon, and just different steps along the way, all the way back to 9/11/01, all the way back to... 95, with the Murrah building bombing, of course, the creation of Department of Homeland Security, the creation of this Ministry of Truth that, of course, they don't like to be called that. And you can see where we are a system in collapse, or they are collapsing the system. And Bannon talks about later on about intellectual anger and about looking over the hill, not just at the hill, but looking what's beyond that hill. And I think this is where we need to be. We need to have the foresight to look over that hill, beyond that hill. All right. Speaking of foresight and looking ahead, you know, I deal with small businesses, a number of small businesses. And as a matter of fact, my stepson has a business. I wouldn't call it small. It's a national logistics company. I get a lot of information from him about things like the diesel shortages, what's going on in transportation nationwide and internationally as well. And he sees it firsthand. But one of the things that I was able to help him with, believe me, not much, but one of the things I did help him with, he was looking for an individual for a very specific job at his business. And, you know, you and I, folks, if you own a business, we've come to rely on certain people to do certain things, right? I know that Eric the Tech, obviously, I rely on him to do so much. And it's so good to have someone that you can trust, you can rely upon, that know what they're doing. Well, this is where ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman comes in. If you have a small business, or if you have a medium size or a large business, it really doesn't matter. If you have a business, especially if you've got a growing business and you need to hire, ZipRecruiter makes hiring so much easier because they do all of the work for you. And right now you can try it for free. And that's important, for free, at ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. Remember, two N's on Hagman. ZipRecruiter uses its powerful technology to find and match the right candidates right up with your job. You can easily review the recommended candidates and invite your top choices to apply. That way you don't have a bunch of resumes being thrown at you. And 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. No wonder ZipRecruiter is number one rated hiring site based on G2 satisfaction ratings as of January 1st, 2022. All right, here's the deal. You know, in fact, the hardest thing you have to do is to remember the special URL. That's all. ZipRecruiter does the rest for you. ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. That's where to go. You need to go try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman, and that is H-A-G-M-A-N-N. Folks, if you own a business, use them. If you don't, but know somebody who does, recommend them. ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. ZipRecruiter is, in fact, the smartest way to hire. And my stepson had wonderful results from this. So you know how important people are. And as I always say, you'll thank me later. All right. Do we have John on? All right. John has finally, we don't have to send out the troops to get him. John's on. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. If you haven't gone to that site, if you haven't listened to his radio shows, I'm telling you right now, you need to do that because that's some show prep I use. I use that show prep. Thelibertyman.com is the website. Link will be in the program description box and at HagmanReport.com. John, thanks for showing up, man. Thanks for coming aboard and welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here, Doug. You see my new photographs posted on my website, I assume.
Yeah, I did. Yes. So is there a story behind that?
Well, you want to join me next time I go parachuting?
No, thank you. But no. You know, here's the thing. Here's my thought on that. If you're in a perfectly good airplane, there's no reason for you to jump out of the thing. But you do. You did.
Well,
right? So talk to me about this.
This is what us alpha male warriors do. We jump out of airplanes.
One can argue the intellectual, okay, alpha. Yeah, I get that. Look, I get it.
There's that's kind of tongue in cheek, but actually the last military use of paratroopers was in Vietnam. That was just a one-time deal. The use of paratroopers in combat is almost going to be non-existent. The reason we still have paratroopers is so we can take soft city boys and turn them into alpha male warriors. That's the purpose of training and having paratroopers.
You call me a soft city boy? And you're right? Because that does have...
And it's the same purpose served by bayonet training, which has been abandoned by the U.S. military, the way. To instill the spirit of the warrior into young men and unfortunately young women attempt to turn them into alpha male warriors. So the photograph there on my website is me wearing my tiger stripe uniform, making a parachute jump just about 4 weeks before I turned 70 years old. Mm-hmm. And it was great fun. I made 2 jumps that weekend and had a lot of fun. It's jumping a square chute is so much better than these T-10 round shoots that they've been using since World War II. You land very gently. Not that I've done it, but I've watched men land barefoot on asphalt. You come down so gently. So it's a very nice ride.
Well, okay. Hey, bud, I got an idea. Take your boots off and your socks off. Jump out of the plane and let's hit that asphalt and tell me how it works out for you. And actually, it worked out fine, right? So,
oh yeah, it worked out fine.
All right. Well,
That was an interesting interview that you showed there a moment ago, showing what's going on with the World Health Organization, and President Mugabe being appointed ahead of anything except maybe sanitation collection. I can't imagine what that would be. He absolutely destroyed one of the most prosperous food-growing countries in the entire continent of Africa. He just wiped it out with his policies.
Yep.
That's just an unfortunate fact of life. That part of the world, Africa, has had so much turmoil for several centuries, and it continues to this day. I was talking to a liberal friend of mine, a great guy, a liberal attorney, and I said, during apartheid, South Africa had a fence to keep black people out, not to keep them in. He says, oh, John, you can't talk about that publicly. I said, why not? It's the truth. South Africa under apartheid had a fence to keep black people from getting in the country, not to keep them from leaving. Why? Because South Africa under apartheid was the best place for a black man or a black woman to have the most opportunity anywhere in the continent. That's why they had a fence to keep black people out, because they would be overrun with people looking for opportunity. So that's not reflected in the public record, however, in what's being put out by the media. Now, Robert Mugabe, he's a communist, pure and simple. He's a communist. His communist dictates, his communist policies have basically destroyed what was once a very prosperous country in Africa. It's a shame, Doug. It's really a shame.
Yep.
I read a headline this morning that North Korea, according to the headline, went from no COVID cases to over 800,000 in 72 hours, in 3 days. Doug, that can't happen. That's not possible.
Sure it can. They said it did.
Oh, right. Yeah, in your dreams it happened.
Yeah, really.
In your dreams.
Now, however, let me just interject one thing. I did get some information from our mutual friend, a physician, you know, and he's saying that he's seeing more and more positive test results for the SARS-CoV-2 among the vaccinated. Just saying. I'm going to leave that right there. Go ahead, sir.
Well, a personal example. My daughter, her twin grandchildren, they're 15, going to be 16 in a couple of months, and her husband, all four of them got the clot shot and at least one booster. Now my daughter and the twins all have COVID. The son-in-law does not, thank goodness. And she says now she's not going to get any boosters. All I can do is love them. I can't get them unvaccinated. That's not possible, as much as I would like to do that. There's no way, no protocol, nothing that can be done once a person has received the clot shot. All I can do is pray and hope for the best for these youngsters. My oldest grandson, who I helped raise, I was his surrogate father for several years. He did not get the clot shot, and I don't believe he's going to, especially now that he's seen what's happening to the rest of his family. But my example is happening, is being repeated millions of times all over the United States and all over the world. I had dinner with Steve Bannoun two nights ago, and I got some interesting updates that I can share with you privately, Doug, not publicly. But the question I keep having for Steve, he's got a lot of connections in Israel. When will the Israelis wake up to the fact that they're killing themselves? You can't lose 20% of your population and still be viable as a country, which Israel's in the process of doing that. And unfortunately, we are also. The initial vaccinations, COVID clot shots, as I call them, were focused on who? People over age 60 and healthcare professionals, first responders, that would be police, fire, paramedics, and the military. Some of the most critical parts of our country, all, in some cases, 100% got the clot shot. We're a great risk here, Doug, because of the ongoing issues with the clot shot and the boosters. It's going to be a wild ride next this year, to say the least.
You know, I was watching a video. Del Hightree, is that? Talking with that Dr. Geertz, like Von den Bosch or whatever.
Von der Bosch, yeah.
Von der Bosch, yeah. Thank you very much. It was like an hour and 50 minutes. I watched that interview, and that really disturbed me because I think what we're going to be seeing is just this massive infection and the latent diseases in people taking over in the immune system, not being able to fight this off. And the fact, the takeaway from this was the deaths will be biblical. And I think we're going to start seeing that coming up soon. We just saw, we had two, I think, U.S. senators, one from Maryland, one from PA, I believe.
I think it was a serving U.S. senator and a senator candidate.
That's
both
right.
Both Democrats.
Yes, yes.
Both Democrats who both had strokes.
Yep. One was a bleed, one was a clot. Yeah.
Now, yes, sir. The odds of two men of that stature both having strokes within a couple of days of each other. This is where the actuarials would have fun playing with this. What's the percentage chance that two Democrats, one senator, one senatorial candidate, would both have strokes within 2 or 3 days of each other? Obviously, it's possible, but the percentage odds are strongly, strongly against it. And of course, we don't know, Doug, you and I don't know if both these men got the COVID clot shot, but I would suspect that most likely they both got the clot shot, because within the Democratic Party, it's almost ubiquitous that men and women have got the COVID clot shot. Now, I believe privately, and I don't have any way to confirm it, but I believe privately within the Democratic circles, this has to be being talked about possibly a bit. I don't know. It needs to be. It's something like conversations like, oh, my God, what have we done to ourselves? Maybe those conversations aren't taking place yet. But after the tennis tournament in Florida, what was that, 4 weeks ago, where some of the world-class athletes, I think it was 15 world-class athletes had to quit because of the consequences of the clot shot and the issues with heart issues.
Yeah, but see, it's totally normal, we're told. Everything, we just didn't notice it before. Now we are attempting to attribute the injecticide,
right,
you know, with these incidents. And of course, you know, we're the crazy ones. We're you and I, we're the conspirator theorist, you know, nutbags. But I think that's also a defense mechanism kicking in among these people who would think, well, you know, I got it, so I don't want to, no, I'm telling you, right, and you called it early on, I think you were
well, the spring of 2000, Doug, and of course, all archived at my archives,
yep.
The spring of 2000 would have been around March or April, that's over 2 years ago, I stated my belief that the COVID vaccinations are already in refrigerators. It turns out that was the case. Now, I do private consultations, Doug, and two of my consultation clients, they came from your state, two doctors, a medical doctor and a nurse practitioner who's basically an MD for all intents and purposes.
Right.
They had a patient, a female patient who works for one of the three companies manufacturing these COVID vaccinations. Here's what she told them in confidence. My company took 6 years to develop this vaccine. Now, point being, publicly, all three vaccinations in this country were developed in 9 months or less. That's the official statement, the official history of these vaccines. Unofficially, behind the scenes, it took 6 years. Now, Doug, after 6 years, you know what these vaccines are going to do and what they won't do, because you did all the proper protocols. You did all the testing. It's all been hidden. They knew what it would do to pregnant women. They knew what it would do to people who were at risk of other things, people with cancer and so forth. They knew precisely what it would do. And they're now moving forward to exterminate us. These COVID clot shot vaccinations and the boosters are meant to do one thing, and that's to depopulate the country, cause women to have spontaneous abortions, cause men to not be able to make their wives pregnant, cause healthy young men to have strokes, heart attacks, blood clots. That's what these things are intended to do. And that's, in fact, what's happening. This morning, you know my friend, Sam Andrews. Over the weekend, he visited the Corvette Museum in Tennessee, which I'd love to see someday. But I like to use the analogy of what's going on with these world-class athletes and compare it to sports cars. Let's say, I've done this before, but it's worth mentioning again. Two brand-new Corvettes are purchased, one by an 18-year-old hotshot, the other by a reasonable, sane, 60-year-old businessman. 18-year-old hotshot is convinced he's going to be Parnelli Jones, and every time he drives it, it's full speed, heavy cornering, heavy accelerating, heavy stopping for, let's say, 1,000 miles a week. The 60-year-old gentleman, he takes his Corvette out on a Sunday afternoon and takes his wife to dinner and returns it to the garage in pristine condition with no hard cornering, no hard stopping or accelerating. Two brand new Corvettes. The one driven by the 18-year-old hotshot, after a year of that driving, things are going to be breaking. That's the athlete. That's the tennis athletes. They're going full blast with their bodies, full speed ahead. What they're doing is an example of what will happen to everybody, because their bodies are in an accelerated version of everybody else's body that takes years to get to the same point. That's what's going on, Doug. That's why these athletes. That's why these athletes are dying, is because they're pushing a professional tennis athlete at that level. They play continuously in the hot sun for hours at a time, taking a water break here and there. These are top conditioned, top performing athletes. And when you see men and women like that having chest pains, and similar athletes, professional soccer players, and there's multiple videos of these top world-class athletes literally falling over dead on the playing field. Doug, that doesn't happen.
Okay, what you just said there, I want to segue into a question that deals with, of course, the lack of baby formula, okay, the scarcity, because I think that there's something else behind that. But it's based on what you just said. So here's the run-up to the question. The Epoch Times reported, this was a column in their in their paper, the premium side. Researcher, we made a big mistake on COVID-19 vaccine. All right. Now, this is a column written by Joseph Mercola, but that was published on published today, as a matter of fact. But here's, again, I'm kind of basing the question for you. He goes through a number of things, just a number of points. For example, the assumption that vaccine developers have been working with is that the mRNA in the vaccines would primarily remain in and around the vaccination site. Well, that didn't happen. It's, of course, going into various organs, from the spleen to the heart to bone marrow, on and on and on. Okay. Now this is from a guy, Dr. Brian Beidle, who was awarded a $230,000 government grant for research on COVID vaccine development. But anyway, he's giving all this information, saying, boy, we made a big mistake. We thought this protein would kind of just target alien antigen, but we knew the spike protein itself was a toxin and was a pathogenic protein. So by vaccinating people, we are inadvertently jabbing them with a toxin. Again, I'm paraphrasing there, but so moving on, and again, getting to my question, It has been now reported that a lot of the spike proteins, which is a toxin, now leak out through, or come out through mother's breast milk, okay? And so what you said and what you've been saying is this is a depopulation method, manner, means. The fact that they know that this is coming out through the mother's breast milk and then taking away the formula, is there a connection there that you can see as an investigator, John Moore?
Well, absolutely. Mothers typically these days breastfeed little or none. That's typical for most young mothers most of the time. Now they will be breastfeeding. They'll be buying these breastfeeding pumps so they can store up the breast milk for when they're not available to breastfeed their own child. And I don't know the percentage of mothers who've got the clot shot. I'm sure it's substantial, probably approaching half. Now, these innocent infants, there's nothing more innocent than the human life of a human baby. These innocent infants will be receiving contaminated milk, breast milk from their own mothers. And that's already happened. Now, my own daughter never got any store-bought baby formula. We made our own. I got raw milk from a certified herd. We mixed up a concoction involving brewer's yeast and some other things with a blender. And we had a very healthy child who became a healthy woman. So I don't know how many people know that could even be done, is to make your own baby formula. I hope that people are researching this and figuring out that it can be done to make baby formula at home that's better and healthier and less expensive than a store-bought baby formula. So I hope people will do that. So getting back to your question, these people are certainly evil enough to do it. Of course they are. And the consequences are already kicked in. The first time a woman goes to the supermarket and finds no baby formula, she's going to start breastfeeding immediately. And whatever it takes to get that milk flowing from her breast, she'll be doing it. Most likely she will. And there'll be an uptick in the demand for wet nurses also, which has kind of fallen out of popularity, of course, to have a wet nurse to feed formula to the baby, breast milk to the baby, excuse me. Of course, has a wet nurse had a clot shot? It's just another aspect, another nuance of the bigger picture, which is to depopulate the country. And of course, they want to go down to infants 6 months old with a clot shot now, Doug. It's absolutely insane how people are being duped into this. They're falling for it. They're accepting it. People who can and should know better. Now, something I haven't done yet, maybe one of our listeners can do it, is look at these life insurance policies of American insurance companies. Do they deny claims for life insurance if the person has accepted an experimental drug or an experimental medical procedure that's not FDA approved? Now, I don't know if that's the case or not. I haven't looked into it. It's already happened in Europe where a man died from the vaccine, and the French judge ruled that the information was available, that the vaccine was experimental, and the person who died had access to getting it, whether he did or not. So the insurance claim was denied. It's really something, yeah. And we got a lot of smart people, Doug. It really something that needs to be looked into. Do American life insurance policies, this is the question, do the American life insurance policies deny a claim where the deceased has accepted a non-FDA approved drug of any kind, a non-FDA approved medical procedure of any kind, not even focusing on COVID-19? Well, that's the question.
Okay, and to take that one step further, and perhaps on the front side of that, if there are any life insurance agents out there, death insurance agents, but of course that, you know, no, you wouldn't want to, but life insurance, if you, on your applications, if you, do you ask the question, have you taken the, I guess it would be the COVID-19 vaccine in their parlance. Is that a question?
Well, two parts of this. And
go ahead.
First part would be the question you're asking on the application for life insurance. The second part would be the policy itself.
Exactly. Yes.
So the first part would be, and this would be fairly new, of course, it's only been out for a little more than not even 2 years, the COVID class shot, not even a year and a half. So the first part would be very, very new for life insurance companies to change their application process. The second part has most likely been in place for many decades. Now, people, I know people do this because they have a kind heart and they think it's the right thing to do. People do, in fact, volunteer to accept a new, untested, non-FDA-approved drug to be part of an experiment as a volunteer. Right. People have been doing that for decades.
Yep.
People accept experimental medical procedures that are not FDA-approved because they volunteer to do so. Now, we probably have quite a few life insurance agents or perhaps like claims reps listening to and watching us right now that have firsthand knowledge of these policies. And my email address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. Please contact me and let me know what you find. Please contact Doug and let Doug know what you find. What's in these life insurance policies? What's in these applications for life insurance? Has the life insurance applications been changed to reflect the concern? And it's a legitimate concern.
And for extra credit, scan and send us a PDF, the applicable part in the contract or the application, or even the claims notice if there is one. That would be for extra credit. And again, John Moore, thelibertyman.com. His email is on his website. Mine is doug@hagmanreport.com, two ends on Hagman. And send us both that information. But you're right. You're right. I'm telling you, what I'm seeing here again, this is not going to end well. Okay, my theme for this episode is a system in collapse, an orchestrated collapse, and the intellectual anger that should be present here. This is part of it. By the way, thelibertyman.com, link in the program description box, hagmanreport.com. John Moore does consultations. It's good stuff. Okay. So look that up at thelibertyman.com. So go ahead, John. Continue with your thoughts. And
we're into a tactical retreat here. I refer to myself and you, Doug, as the remnant. We are the pure blood remnant. That's who we are. We are the pure blood remnant. We don't have the COVID clot shot. We don't have the spike proteins. Most of our listeners, I hope, I believe, don't have the COVID clot shot. They don't have the spike proteins. They also are the remnant. They also are the pure bloods. Now, they want to get rid of us also. And they're putting in place everything they can to make it uncomfortable to travel, uncomfortable to do and participate in certain events. And I don't know if you saw, Doug, but not this past Sunday, but a week ago Sunday, there were protesters in a Catholic mass in Los Angeles.
Protesting. I did see that. Go ahead.
Okay. I was noticing that. And the Catholic parishioners really did a good job of maintaining their cool. But I did notice about 20% of the Catholic parishioners in May of 2022 still wearing masks. What's with that, Doug? Why would anybody wear a mask anymore? Doesn't everybody know it's pointless? It serves no purpose other than to make you sick. But apparently in Los Angeles, about 20% of the Catholic men and women in that particular Catholic church were wearing masks. Now, over the weekend, Doug, I was at Myrtle Beach, South Carolina for the Reawaken America tour, sponsored by Clay Clark.
Oh, yeah.
It was a great event, 2,000 seats. I did not see a single man, woman, or child wearing a mask. Not one. Not one man, woman, or child wearing a mask in the 2,000-plus people that were there. General Mike Flynn was there, Ambassador Alan Keyes. I was Ambassador Keyes' bodyguard for a day 20 years ago. It was good to connect up with him again. Dr. Brian Artis, Dr. Zelensky was there with his bodyguards, very well protected, and he needs to be, by the way. I'm sure he's a great
list. Zelenko.
Zelenko, excuse me.
No, I got Zelensky on the brain. I get that. Yeah.
Dr. Zelenko, right. Thank you, with his bodyguards. Very intense man, by the way. Just walking, you see, man, I took one look at him and say, there's a really smart, really intense guy, which he is. And thank goodness. I'm Dr. Brian Artis. Now, he's just the opposite. He's full of, he's just jovial and fun and a great guy to be around. And obviously, to me, just as smart as Zelenko is. But it was a great event, and I'm glad I went. I got to meet some great people. I met and shook hands with General Flynn's niece, and marvelous time. And nobody wore a mask. It was great to have all those people together and nobody wore a mask.
Yeah, I'm going to be having Clay Clark back on the show here as soon as I can not screw up the schedule again for him.
Yeah,
so.
Well, I got Clay on mine next week. I'm with Mike Adams tomorrow on his show.
Good.
Clay Clark will be on my show, I believe, next week.
Isn't that great, by the way? We're all sticking together.
Well, we all know each other and we stick together, absolutely.
Yeah go ahead.
I need to get back with Steve Quayle. Now that my show runs a little an hour later, maybe he'll actually come on. Mountain time was too early for him before.
But well, he's in Mountain Time, but I got to tell you, he's usually.
Well, I started interviewing Steve Quayle in the mid to late 90s on my first radio show in St. Louis, so I know Steve pretty well. But yeah, we all know each other. I had dinner two nights ago with Steve Ben Noon, and I can give you a private briefing of what he told me. It's not for public consumption. But we all know each other. We trade each other back and forth, guesting and hosting. Larry Beecraft, for example, down there in Alabama, great guy.
Right.
I visited with Larry, and he set up a speaking engagement for me down there in Huntsville.
Jordan, with all the people that you're connected with, okay, now I know Clay is big on this revival, you know, reawaken America, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with anything positive that we present, okay? But my line here, and by the way, you got to talk to this guy. I'm just going to quote from this. This is Nehemiah Strong. John Dyson wrote this book, okay? There's a line in here. This is about how to handle today's challenges. You know, like what happens if the FBI shows up at your door. Okay. Practical advice based on biblical principle, but I'll give you that information off air. But here's my question. Okay. With all the people you're around, I don't believe, number one, this is me personally, I don't believe that we're going to be able to vote our way out of this. We're going to be able to litigate our way out of this. I believe the only, they're pushing us to the only solution, and that is to fight our way out of it. Now, what that looks like, I don't know. Whether it's just mere civil disobedience, mere breaking curfew, mere breaking lockdowns, not wearing a mask, I don't know what that's going to look like. What do you think, based on everybody you talk to, and you talk to so many people, probably twice as many as I do, what are they saying? What's going to happen here? Not that you got a crystal ball, but, you know, from your crystal ball.
Resistance will be mostly passive as it's been. These airline CEOs went to the White House for a reason. People like myself, and there's millions of us, just stopped flying because of the mask mandates. That hurts their bottom line, passive resistance. Cruise lines, the same way. Recently, since the first year, there's been cruises where every man, woman, and child, passengers, crew, all were vaccinated, and they still had COVID outbreaks. Still had the COVID outbreaks, allegedly. I guess I assume they did. But the cruise lines are taking a big hit. They were shut down completely for more than a year. So the passive resistance has had some effect. Active resistance, well, you start messing with people's children and grandchildren. That's where the active resistance is going to be in. If they say a child won't be admitted to public school unless they had the COVID shot, If they try to give children a COVID shot without the express written permission of the parent, that's where the rubber's going to meet the road. You start messing with people's children and grandchildren, you're going to get active pushback,
which is why. Okay.
Passive pushback.
You're right. And Bannon, I played a Bannon clip in the first segment, and he came out and said, you know, the mothers at the school board meetings and such, but the mothers are going to be like, they're at the tip of the spear, not going to be, but they are tip of the spear. And I believe that. And this is why I believe that the Department of Homeland Security, the Ministry of Disinformation within that, makes us, or the mothers and us, they care about our kids and grandchildren, the domestic terrorists that we are not, but they want us to be this domestic terrorist, designation. So, yeah, and to fight that, you know, look, I believe one of these days you might be able to not wear a mask on a plane, but you, John Moore, might not be able to fly in a plane because, oh, you know what, you put something out the other day and we don't agree with it, so we're gonna keep you off our aircraft.
I was on the no-fly list years ago. I'm not anymore, to my knowledge. But
what did you do?
Well, they never told me, but I got to go through the terrorist screening line instead of the normal screening line, which had no wait. So I got through security a lot faster, actually. That worked out pretty good. Another time I was going through security to just accompany my, at the time, 8-year-old grandchildren to the gate. I wasn't going to fly. And I had an empty shoulder holster underneath my shirt. No pistol.
Right.
No magazines. And you would think I was carrying a couple of pounds of TNT the way they made me take my shirt off, take off the holster, hand them the holster. They looked at it up. They looked at it down. They looked at it up inside out. They gave my holster back, and I got to put my shirt back on.
You know,
all that whoop-de-doo over an empty shoulder holster.
I gotta tell you this. I was the last time I flew. No one would stand around me because I'm just obnoxious because I hate people that take away my freedoms. But anyway, I got pulled off to the side because I had my badge. I have my badge case in my pocket, and they took out my badge, or they took out my badge case, or I put it in the thing, those bins, and
right,
they little plastic
bin,
right. And because it had, you know how the badges have that long pin in the back?
Well, sure.
Okay. It's normal, right? I mean, the right. Guys that are looking at it have the same friggin' thing. They ripped apart my badge case. They destroyed my badge case. And they almost said, no, you're not going to take this on because it could be used as a weapon. And I was in their faces to the point where... I think Eric the Tech was with us and Jack. Anyway, I got to tell you what, they were like, oh my gosh, this guy, he's going to be arrested. We're going to have to get bail money. But what a bunch of morons out there. And we're still taking our friggin' shoes off 21, 22 years later or 21 years after 9/11. What the hell's that about? Anyway, and you wear a empty shoulder holster and you're a damn terrorist. I'll tell you.
Well, let's go down that road a little further.
Yeah, please.
In my capacity as an investigator, I've been in, I don't know, probably between 1 and 200 city jails, county jails, state prisons, and federal prisons, and mostly around the Midwest. I get treated better gaining entrance to a maximum security prison than I do flying on an airplane. They don't make me take my shoes off. They treat me with courtesy and politeness. And
isn't that, you know, something? I mean, I've been to Attica. I've been to Rikers. Right. The same as you. You know, and yes, you're treated better than the TSA line at your local airport. What the?
Exactly. Exactly.
This is wrong.
No. Well, my daughter priced a ticket for her son to go to a wrestling match just two states away. From Washington State to Montana, I think it was. It was like $800 to fly a short distance, between $800 and $900. And these prices are exorbitant. Why would you pay that much money to be treated like a criminal?
Exactly.
Why would you do that? Now, I drove It was kind of ironic. 999.5 miles each way to Myrtle Beach, beginning last Thursday. 1,000 miles there, 1,000 miles back. And I'm glad to do it. It was a beautiful trip. I got to have dinner with a good friend on the way back. My audio books were wonderful.
Yep.
And I didn't have to be treated like a criminal.
I love it. I love windshield time, brother.
You know, in a modern automobile with all the amenities, it's really quite pleasant, especially when you use the energy cleaner like I do to help keep your energy level up. To make a road trip like that, it's just absolutely pleasant.
And perhaps too understated, the energy cleaner. Talk about that for a minute, if you don't mind.
Well, Doug, you were gifted one.
Yep, and it works.
All you do when I mentioned how it helps your libido is smile. But
I never had trouble before, but okay. Yeah, go ahead.
I respect that. And, I was talking to my chiropractor the other day about it, and I said, Doc, I do something you can't do because it would hurt your business too much. I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee on the energy cleaner. That's me personally, not the company that builds them, but me personally, helping people get past the arthritis pain. Yep. And get the best night's sleep they've had in decades. Professional truck drivers love the energy cleaner because that 10-hour shift they pull seems like 6 hours. And same thing for me. If I'm on a road trip, I use energy cleaner and a small travel pad, and it helps keep me alert and wide awake and refreshed. And at the end of the day, when I do, it is time for a rest. I just don't feel beat up and just dog dead tired. So it's a great piece of equipment for only $285. The mattress pads that go with it, they do vary in price. And we now have something, a new product, Doug, the Micro Plus Throw, which is kind of a small blanket. It can use on your bed, on your recliner, on your car seat, for only $75 shipping included. So it's marvelous technology. Yep. And all the details are at thelibertyman.com.
And thank you for pointing that out, folks. Look, we're all about it. Look, we talk about the problems. We offer solutions. John Moore has, and let me tell you, the energy cleaner is really a unique. And I can't describe, look, I don't know how it does what it does. It doesn't matter. It does what it does because that's it works. Now, John, I have a little problem putting the couple of wires up my bum. I'm kidding. But I shouldn't even make that joke. But the fact of the matter is it works. Okay. Go to thelibertyman.com and look at all of the things that John has to offer, including his private consultations. There you go, thelibertyman.com. It's on your screen right now. And support John. And look at his products. He's got some great products as well. But he also has some great knowledge to impart with you through his private briefings. We've got about 2 minutes left. By the way, I want to mention this real quick, John, self-serving promotion. We had the CEO of Touchstone Essentials on. If you put that on the screen, I don't know if you can. Okay. Don't yell at me, Eric the Tech. He's yelling at me. He's like, what do you want me to do? We have a spray. Actually, it really works. It's a detoxifying spray. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link. You don't have to put the link up. Click on the link. You'll see it in the top right-hand corner. So self-serving promotion there. That stuff really works. And you combine that with the energy cleaner and the supplements, of course. And you know what? You don't have to really worry about too much. At least, you know, focus on that. So anyway, a minute left, John. I took the other minute. A minute left. There it is. Body Pure Extra. This is nano. Doggone it. Never mind. Just go there and read about it. It works. My wife swears by it, too. So, John, your thoughts last minute.
Well, ultimately, it's a spiritual battle. We always need to keep that in mind. We need to keep in mind our need to keep our physical fitness up to the best of our ability. And it's going to be different for different people. But pray without ceasing and build your team. Your team is going to be working together to help hopefully survive this. A team of family members, close friends, church members, whatever it is. You can't, one or two people can't survive this by themselves. You need a team of 8 to 10 healthy adults, at least, at a minimum. 10 or 12 would even be better.
That's right.
So work on putting your team together, get your training. pray without ceasing, and work on your physical fitness.
Like-minded people. It's a spiritual battle. You got it. TheLibertyMan.com. That's the place to go. John Moore, thank you so very, very much. Folks, that'll do it for me tonight. Have a good night.